How will the ten influence that place? It is called the prayers of men. What they can do is to pray. It's their prayers that rise up to heaven. And that's what gives them power to control what is going on in that place. There are a number of ways they could respond. And Christians often respond when they don't realize this. They could keep quiet and say nothing. For that reason, now, and I'm going to get into that as we are starting now. For that reason, because they've said nothing, the influence of evil that the other sinners are bringing in is quite strong. Are you getting my point? So if God says, because of your iniquity, there will be no harvest. This is the interesting part. 990 people will suffer hunger. The other 10, their harvest will also be affected, even though God showed them mercy. That's why I told the children of Israel, when you get into that land, pray for the prosperity of that land. Because in its prosperity, you will also prosper. So if by their own works, the other people are damaging the prosperity of that land, the other 10, the remaining 10, which the Bible calls the remnant, must make intercession. I've gotten there now. They must offer prayers to God for that land. They must. If they don't, you will think all of them are sinners and are being punished equally. Now, the problem these days, when people don't understand, is that they further judge the land. And they don't realize what they're doing. They get up and, you know, let me say this to you quickly. Okay, let me tell you what they get up and do. They get up and start pronouncing curses on the land. And there are different ways by which you do it. Nigerians do it all the time. This Jonathan's head is not even correct. I don't mean your Jonathan, no. I mean the current president. His name is Jonathan. He's not the one I'm talking about. What is wrong with him, sir? The man, I don't know how he reasons. He's too afraid. Every day, they are accusing him. Now, please, I must get into that, all right? Before I leave. Every day, they are accusing him before God. And these are the intercessors. Now, put a pause. Let me quickly go into that so we can put everything together. So when we start praying, we know what we are doing. Nothing happens on this earth that God did not order, including the killing of 6 million Jews by Adolf Hitler. It was not the devil. What did I say? What did I say? Now that's why some people don't believe in God, but I don't care. Truth is truth. You got to preach it. Read your Bible well. Before Satan, devil, succeeds, he goes to the throne of God and asks for permission to succeed. Have you considered my servant Job? You know, okay. Now, go. All I have given him is in your hands. Only don't touch his flesh. That is, if God does not give the commandment to the devil, he can't succeed in his work. That's why he said, I am the one that gave to the made the one who fashions weapons. Therefore, I say, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. That is, the weapon fashioner cannot prosper unless I say she prosper. No matter how skilled he thinks he is, if I say any weapon aimed in that direction will not fire, don't worry, it can't fire. Before it fires, I must order it to fire. I, God. A lot of word of faith people don't understand this. Even the devil just gets up and just, no, listen. The work that God does in heaven is called judgment or judging. That's better. What do I call it? He's judge of the whole earth. Abraham said, will not the judge of the whole earth do righteously? You know what it means to be judge of the whole earth? You don't take any action that he does not command. This is hard, but it's the truth. You know, it struck me when that evil spirit came, and when God said, who will go, when Micaiah was talking about what he saw in heaven. Micaiah said, this was what I saw. I saw all the evil spirits gathering up out there, and they were all in God's presence. And I heard God say, who will go and entice Ahab that he might go to Ramoth Gilead and fall there? And one came and said, I will. And God said to him, how? He said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God now said, go and succeed in that. Now, read it. Read it. You know, it's very interesting. Second Chronicles chapter 18. Let's just start from I'll rush from verse 19. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and follow Ramoth Gilead? And one said this, one another said that. Then the spirit came forth, verse 20, and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said, how? And he said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he, that is the Lord, said, you are to entice him and prevail also. Go and do so. Did you notice that? That is, all that evil spirit had was a suggestion. If the Lord said nothing, he will go there, he will not be able to lie a lie in the mouth of those prophets. Ahab would not believe him. Ahab wouldn't go to Ramoth Gilead. And Rahab wouldn't have fallen there. But because God said it like this, you are to entice him and you will prevail. It's called a blessing. Yes. When God finished creating, he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. If he didn't say that word, as the plant grow, let the earth bring forth. Now say, go bring forth. After that, he go bring back. No, that's it. The Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's what it means. So he said, you have to go. You have to succeed. You will entice him. He will believe you. He will go to Ramoth Gilead. That's what he was telling him. He said, go and do so. That's what it means to be judge. That is, to smoke 6 million Jews, as wicked as it was. It was very wicked. A spirit had to go up. I'm getting there now. Read my book, Acquire Life. I discuss that in details. A spirit had to go up and present before the judge. See, you must understand how God behaves. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I said that before. It means that if you saw God in the life of Abraham, it looked different from what you saw in the life of Isaac. And it looked different from what you will see in the life of Jacob. That's why they didn't say God of Abraham, Isaac. They said the God of Abraham, comma, the God of Isaac, another one, comma, then the God of Jacob. Three. That is why you will hear, go and listen to our series, The Survival and the Death of Moses. God told Moses, you will go, you will do this, and anointed him. And as he was going, God met him and said, I will kill you today. They're like, wait. Do they say we in heaven? Which kind of rap can you rap that will intoxicate the Almighty? But sometimes God looks like that. Because there are different aspects to him. The best way somebody explained it before, once, was how a judge, his son was arrested. And he committed a crime that was punishable by a fine. So he sat down, they prosecuted the case, it was his son. He judged the case, found the boy guilty, and fined him. After finding the boy, as a judge, he got up, deep behind his pocket, and paid the fine as a father. Are you seeing? As a judge, he fined the boy. As a father, he paid the fine. That's how God is. God is love. He's also judge. Being love has nothing to do with being judge. You know why? Because as a rule, he must be just. As a rule, he must be what? That is, it must not be heard. Just means it must not be heard that a sinner came before God and he was not punished. I told you before that forgiveness doesn't mean don't do it again. No. Sin must be touched. That is, it must be handled. You pour water here. And I said, okay, don't be angry. And now that you are not angry. Let me say, I said, you can go. I'm not angry. Okay, now that I'm not angry, the water where you pour, Are you getting my point? I'm driving my car. You carry a stone because you smoke and drank something. You broke the glass. Then your eye clear. You say, sorry, sir. Pastor, I want to say now you. I will never have broken your glass. I say, okay, I am being sorried. Amen? You say, sorry, sir. Uh-huh. Okay, now that you have sorried me, the glass you broke, go. And don't be angry. I'm not angry. Just I have to go home driving in the rain. What's going to happen? God is judge. He doesn't let that happen. If you break the glass, it must be fixed. So forgiveness with God is not forget it. Forgiveness is that, all right, you have broken a glass that you can't afford to repair. This is how God forgives. God will give you the money. I say, yeah, pay the man. God doesn't, you know, some people just come and say, okay, let me just reconcile the two of you. There's no reconciliation as long as the glass is broken. What's your problem? I've said I would do good ass on the road. Just saying, okay, just don't, you gentlemen, don't quarrel. We're not quarreling. The glass is broken. Which kind of quarrel are you talking about? What God does is that he says, okay, fine, 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 fine. No quarrels. So, how much is the glass? He said, $2,000. So, he dips his hand in his pocket and hands the $2,000 to one of the people. If it's the sinner, he says, pay the man. Or pays the fellow directly. And say, the glass is fixed. He says, yes, sir. That's what it means to be just. For Hitler to smoke 6 million Jews, the spirits of destruction had to come up and bring forth petitions before the judge of the whole earth and explain why they must have the right, they must be given the right to round up, put in gas chambers, shoot, you know, put in firing ranges, and kill 6 million Jews. God had to hear their petition. Decide it is just. Oh, because you must get the point. Decide it is just. And say to Adolf Hitler, you will go. You will succeed. You will kill them all. Sounds harsh. It had to happen. As a loving God, as God who is love, he will do that and shed a tear. I don't know what I heard what I said. He will say that, and if he could, he will start weeping for them. They will say, yes, you can go. You will succeed. They will not escape you. Anyone that escapes your gas chambers, your firing squad will catch. Anyone that escapes your firing squad, famine will destroy. Until there remains only a remnant. And that evil spirit will say, thank you, sir. He will not take that empowering word, put it in the life of a man called Adolf Hitler. And more than 10 times, men will try him and he won't die. You never heard the story of Hitler? They planted bombs beside him in the inner caucus meeting of the generals. They put a bomb in a briefcase beside him. Last minute before the man who planted the bomb will plant it, he had the last minute thought that this bomb would be too powerful. So he removed half of the charges. It was in a briefcase. And he put it beside Adolf Hitler. But there was one issue. He put it between Adolf Hitler. Now, between the bomb and Adolf Hitler was the leg of the table. And that leg of the table was big and strong. That deflected the impact from Adolf Hitler. The bomb took Hitler, threw him out of the window, only succeeded in tearing his clothes. As a young soldier, he was in a pit, you know, like one of their diggings. And he left, went that way to go and do something. And a mortar hit the very spot where he was standing, blew it up. And he said, I knew I was sent by God. His life was spared. A man planned to kill Adolf Hitler. He knew where Hitler used to stand to deliver his speech. For a long time, he plotted and planted a bomb in the wall behind Hitler. He timed it by one ingenious method that it took the bomb more than 24 hours to go off. Timed it perfectly, except that the day the bomb was supposed to go off, Adolf Hitler decided to start his speech 1 hour early. And for either 1 hour early, or normally, he just died and refused to speak for long. Normally, he said the man would talk for hours. He got up and left. After he left, boom! The wall behind him exploded. He was spared. Why? Because people made petition before God ahead of time. Some angelic spirits, some evil spirits, and said that we have to do this. And God said, you will do it. You will succeed. You will kill them all. Anyone that has escaped the gas chambers, your bullets will catch. Anyone that escapes the bullet, famine will destroy. Anyone that famine does not destroy, disease will kill. And all that empowerment was put in one evil man. Christians can't say this. They think it will turn people against their God, but truth is truth. The devil didn't have the power to do it. He had to take an order from God. Once I was discussing with a friend of mine, his wife, you know, he said that down in their village, somewhere in the Riverine area, you know, Riverine area, I have a lot of mammy water spirits. That's a joke. All right, so anyway, you know, the Riverine area. So those spirits, they come out of the ocean. One day I heard somebody pray and say, we hereby cast all of you into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, when militancy started, you are wondering why. After casting so many demons into the Atlantic. Now, anyway, say in that aside, that one lady, a witch, a real witch, not those kind of imaginary witches. When a Christian is owing everybody, he's not sleeping at night. He said, they are pursuing me. Those are not witches. Those are debt creditors. Why did I call them? Why did I call them? Those are not witches. This was a real witch. And she said something. My friend's wife was relaying it. That she said that in the occult, that they, now she was being frank about it, they belong to a particular realm. That before they can do anything, they have to cross over to the realm of light to get permission. I said that this is in the Bible. I knew this once. So that's why I said, look, don't be afraid of any witch. I get my point? Don't be afraid. You know why? You know why? Let me quickly tell you why, so you quickly understand. You want to know? Let me just say this. I don't like preaching this, all right? Not like I don't like preaching. I like preaching it, just that people don't like hearing it, all right? There's a difference between what I don't like preaching and what people don't like hearing. One of the things that those evil spirits must have used in accusation against the Jews before God, all right, was the matter of, you must understand something. Anytime there is Ichabod, there is in trouble. That when glory departs, trouble comes in. Don't ever forget that. When Jesus, by his death, tore that veil, anybody that claims he's practicing Judaism today is under a curse. What I've told you is a simple fact. All right? Now, you must understand what they call the spirit of the Antichrist. John said, anyone who denies, you must understand this, that Jesus is the Son of God, is of the Antichrist. So the whole of Judaism is Antichristal. I hope that English is not too bad. The whole of Judaism. It pains me when Christians magnify it. The word for Judaism is Ichabod. The glory has departed. Are you saying Jews are bad people? No. They are just like, they are just normal what? Unbelievers who are practicing a serious kind of a religion that God says not anymore. So when they want to accuse them before God, these are the points that are used. I'm telling you the truth. Nobody is angry that you killed Jesus. No. You can kill Jesus and still go to heaven. I hope you know that. I can prove it from the scriptures. Paul, he was killing Jesus regularly. I'll wake up in the morning and say, guys, we don't kill any Jesus recently. No, kill that one. Y'all wake up again, gather his guys. He was persecuting. So take Jesus appear and say, Saul, wait here, I do you. No, you do understand. By the time some, you come, to come and say, wait here now, this thing is serious. Everybody were preaching, believe and be saved. Jesus had to come and say, Saul, waiting. He said, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Go and read your Bible. He said, why persecutest thou me? Is that not what he said? Yes. That is Saul. We quarrel. I take your wife. You know, those kind of things. At the end of the day, they forgave him, washed him, poured a kind of anointing upon him that when Paul will read his letters, it's Peter. Peter will shake. And that was a man who, so you can kill Jesus, it's not an issue. Kill him many times, doesn't matter. The day of repentance, na matter. Why? What are the accusations against Judaism? It is that you all gathered and deny, in your gathering, you deny that Jesus is the Son of God. You hang up to a religion that God by himself removed the veil. And some Pentecostals are trying to help you rebuild the temple. And they are confusing you instead of preaching the truth to you. Now, I said don't be afraid. Let me get back to why I said you shouldn't be afraid. If you are here, you are listening to me and you have believed, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for you. That is when they come before the throne of God and they say, we have to kill him. And God says, fine, go ahead. Why? Because 7 years ago, he did this. 8 years ago, she did this. Before he was born, the father entered our group and made a commitment to us that his second son shall be our sacrifice. And God respects those things. He said, yes, no problem. Uh-huh. Any other thing? When he went to university, he joined the cult. Look at what they did. They calculate everything. Ah, she killed somebody. Hey, talk. And God said, any defense? And Jesus comes and says, that was then. 4 years ago, she believed. He believed. And by the shedding of my blood, I said, God doesn't just forgive sin and say forget. No. He pays. By the shedding of my blood, I have washed him. I have washed her. All those things they are talking about, I have paid. What about what the ancestors said? He's no longer of the will of flesh. He's now of the will of God. He was born by the Spirit. This one we are talking about is alive by faith. The old man has died. They can go and pick him from the grave. So God, the judge, says to them, because of what my son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world, because of what he has said, it's called ever liveth to make intercession. Because of that, you guys can't kill him. That's why you can't be afraid. That's why all the witches, if I see them, I go do like this. What I wish you. But I wish. I did like. I go say, give me five. The guy go run. I said, but I say you be wish. Because I know the way it works. And this is not a joke. I can't be sitting down here teaching you occultism. I have to teach you Christianity. Because in the realm of what you call occultic people, what they do is they are accusers. They are accusers of the brethren. That's why, let's talk in a natural plane. A man, a woman who has never done anything worthy of a particular kind of judgment, no witch can put that judgment upon him or her. Until you do something worthy of death, the hottest and hardest ogboni man can't kill you, even if you're an unbeliever. Even as an unbeliever. Because the only thing the guys do, all right, is to go and make petitions based on your sins against you in the presence of the judge of all earth. That's how it works. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That's why, let me tell you something. As a Christian, oh God, too many things to say. Be careful how you dey curse personal. There was a day a man did me something bad. I withheld myself from answering him. I said to my chief, if I answer him, he will die. And I meant it. There's a way I will look at a man. Me, thank you, you're looking at. I will say, it will never be well with you. Let him struggle all he wants. Poverty will be, that is, poverty go de pursue like this. That is, I not go, just say I'm a Christian like this. I understand things. I will say, come here. Anytime you see favor in front of you, it will be like you. It will be like Moses and the Promised Land. You will never enter into it. You don't have to go to any witch.
You see what the Bible calls the decree of the watchers. That's why we know how to warn people. There are things somewhere that say, stop this thing. If you do this, you won't live long. But as Christians, there's something we operate by. We don't do that. That man offended me. I looked at him. I remember I looked at him like this. I engaged my car in gear. My chief said, let's give him money. I said, chief, no. If I talk to this man, he'll die. Let's go. It's called accusation. It's called accusation. All I'm just accusing before God. You don't have to join a coven to practice witchcraft. Come, I will teach you. Oh, God. You don't understand. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. But as Christians, we don't do that. Because God says, he that shows mercy, we obtain mercy. So we are careful to continually show mercy as Christians. More importantly for us, forget who shows mercy, who doesn't show mercy. Our own is that we have received mercy. Are you getting my point? Because we have received mercy, we are careful to extend that mercy to other people. Look, that's how things work on this earth. That's how they work. I said, they join cults. I said, look, listen, no matter the cult you join, if a woman has not seen the sin unto death, you can't kill him. Because all you can do is accuse. Even if you say his grandfather sold him into this kind of thing, God has to wait. What the evil spirits do is to tempt him to agree with his grandfather. They start making him break promises, lie to people, cheat people, disobey constituted authority over his life. Ancestor said he will not do well. He will not do well. No, wahala. Before ancestor said he won't do well, what he will do is that he will start tempting him. When his father says, hey, John Boo, come. He said, leave your papa in old school. So your papa in old school. He get iPhone, no get. He don't know anything. The guy is not on BB. That's evil spirit that wants to kill the man. So next time his father calls him, say, forget my procedure now, old school. That's the devil. Say, thank you. Why? That was the heat that drives out his father. The heat that causes his father and drives out his mother. His light will go out in the time of darkness. That's poverty. The spirit of poverty can't stay on that guy until he starts doing those things. But what's my message? I'm just trying to teach us. Look, God, oh God, is the one that commands poverty. But from what I've told you, you know, I've discussed with people. If you know why Nigerians are poor, it's easy to explain. It's very easy. That is, there's nothing fantastically spiritual, even though it's spiritual, but nothing fantastically spiritual about it. The spirit of poverty makes people do things that keep them in perpetual poverty. I don't even go into that. I'm speaking too much. But the point I'm going to make is this, all right? At that judgment throne of God, read my book, Acquire Life. I described it in there. The main prosecutor is called the accuser of the brethren. And he's always recruiting people to work with him. So either you are an accuser, the main defense who makes intercession for the people is Jesus Christ. Or you are a co-defender with Jesus, making intercession for people. I set this stage to let you understand something. So, Nigeria is always on trial. Nigeria cannot prosper or refuse to prosper because the devil doesn't like it or God likes it. No. God sits as judge over the affairs of the nation. And Satan doesn't want you to enjoy, does not want me to enjoy, doesn't want us to do the will of God. So he has to scatter the country. So constantly he brings up accusation against all of us before the throne of God. And those accusations, this is the shocking part. You and I, we read them every day in the papers. Read my book, By Faith Acquire Life. I call them echoes of accusation. You hear it. So you see a man sit down and analyze to you why Nigeria will break in 2015. Forget how reasonable he is. How reasonable is not. He's telling you what the devil is saying every day before the throne of God. Every day, the devil is saying it. It has to break. He takes people as nations. He said, look at the Igbo man. He starts telling you what is wrong with him before the throne of God. He takes the Yoruba man. He tells everything that is wrong with him before the throne of God. And takes the two of them together and say, God, they can't mix. Then he takes the Kanuri man, takes the Ijaw man, that's how his nations, you know, languages. If you go and check it, I was listening to one man the other day on TV. He said, God does not divide people according to color. He divides them according to language. So he takes them one by one and starts explaining why it must spoil. There are those that they call the elders amongst the people. Oh, their sins are interesting, all right? The sin of the elders. There are those he calls the elders amongst the people, all right? You must understand that. And the interesting about the elders is that their sins tend to be representative, all right, of the sins of the whole people. Once I went for a wedding, and a man said that today's wedding shall be conducted in Igbo language. Why? Because at the last meeting of the Ohanaeze Ndigbo, they decided that all weddings henceforth would be conducted. Now, I want you to understand, the person at the wedding didn't go for the meeting. His father was not at the meeting. But the chairman of the reception was at the meeting. And this is what I call the elders of the people. So, just to give you an idea, they are the ones that supposedly speak for people. You understand? Anyway, let me make the whole story. So, these are the things that Satan carries those elders and sees them before the judgment throne of God. And they face each other and they start explaining why they have to kill themselves. On the other side are the defenders, the prayer warriors, the Christians, the children of God, those that understand the law of mercy. They are the ones that keep on saying the lie. It won't happen. Why won't it happen? That's what Abraham did. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And they start making what they call explanations. And the power of the word they have been preaching. I hope you're getting my point. The truth of the word they have been sending into the air. Those are all the things that are put together to let you know whether Nigeria will survive 2015 or it won't. Not because one man wants it to survive or another one does not want it to survive. Why did I say all this? As I said, let me just say this and I close with it. Although I thought I was going to speak for a short time so we could pray a bit, but we'll continue next time. Imagine now when you and I that are supposed to be intercessors, we now have been tempted. What did I say? We have been tempted by the devil. We have not crossed over to the side of the accusers. We now join and say, in fact, this nation can't make it. In fact, we are all dead meat. In fact, they will be there every day talking. They will start speaking according to the seeing of our eyes and the hearing of our ears. Can't you see what happened in Maiduguri? Can't you see what happened in Sarawak? Did you hear the one happening in Bayelsa? What is going on right now in Anambra? The last time it happened in Lagos. What have you become? An accuser of the nation. Remember what I said? Temptations are tempting. I said temptations are tempting. They are called temptations because they are tempting. That is, one day you will go home, you ask after your cousin, a big businessman in Kano, and you will hear that Boko Haram beheaded him in front of his children. They are from Anambra State. Your cousin, therefore, is from Anambra State too. And he was a businessman in Kano, and Boko Haram beheaded him and his wife. When they come to the church, let us pray for Northern Nigeria. Yes. That God will kill all of them. You are falling for the temptation. You see why our papers are the accusing, you know, Masop. Eh? You know Masop? Yes. They are agents of Satan in that area. Yes. I'll tell you the truth.
They issue reports. We no go agree. This country must divide. It must divide. Problem, problem, problem. Just leave them alone. Don't join them. OPC. OPC. You know what's OPC? They're agents of Satan. That's Old People's Congress. They're agents of Satan. They don't know. They're not wicked people, though. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The other one, APC. Arewa. They are all agents of Satan. Now, you must understand what I'm saying. Satan does not mean they go to court and say, Elijah, nation must die. No, no, no. At a point in time, Peter was also agent of Satan. You know that?
Yes.
So you get what I'm saying? All the people that magnified division and accused the nation into disintegration, they are on one side of the judgment seat of God. They are accusing the nation. And the commandment of God is you must never join them. You must always be on the side of defense. Is it that the things they are saying are not true? Maybe they are true, but how relevant is that when Jesus came to wash away those sins? Once I was in a church here in Enugu, and their big bishop came there and said, what kind of country is this? This is actually not a country. It's not a country. It's not a country. It's not a country because one man and his girlfriend decided to join us and give us a name. It's not a country. How can you have a country where men did not sit down to decide how they're going to relate? It's not a country. I was not surprised when I heard he packed his wife and children and moved to Atlanta. Atlanta is not in Anambra City, in case you don't know. And don't think it's in Lagos because those ones that come near the Atlantic Ocean. Atlantic Ocean and Atlanta are two different places. Atlanta is in the United States. People like that, I just said, stop coming to even preach in this nation. Just go away. Just go away. We don't need you. If you will shut up, you do us better service. Let those of us that have hope and have faith, let us be uttering with God. And God gave us a commandment. He said, I will send you into nations like he has sent you into Nigeria. He said, you will pray for the peace of that country. You will never stand there and be judging. You will pray for what? The peace of that country. And he said, you will beg God. That's what we're saying. You will entreat the Lord for its sake. Because in his prosperity, you will have prosperity. That is, you and I are commanded to be on the side of Jesus, to be intercessors for the country. I hope you've got my point. I hope you've got my point. Let me quickly drop this one because I know we have overshot our time very, very well. Or let them just dress so we can go. Listen, this is the point. Accusation is every day. Defense is every day. Are you getting my point? Listen, accusation, I say, is every day. This country can never have uninterrupted power supply. The kind of corruption is too much. It's true, it's too much. That is beyond the level that is tolerable. But he prepares a table of uninterrupted power supply before me in the presence of exceedingly high corruption. And my home overflows with constant power supply. Let me give you the word of God as I close. We crowd out corruption in Nigeria.
Amen.
He said, listen, I will give you uninterrupted power supply. I will give you a police force that is beautiful.
Amen.
I will give you courts and legal systems that the rest of the world will come and admire and copy.
Amen.
I will give it to you because amongst you I have found those who I call my watchers, who are upon the walls, who will not give me any rest. They are called intercessors. I hope you've got my point.
Yes,
let's close. It's almost 7 o'clock. If we're blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. Just say, Father, I thank you because I'm an intercessor. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am an intercessor. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am not an accuser. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am an intercessor. In the name of Jesus Christ.